for those that you don't know, this is Tag Team Preaching, and there's three of us today, and we're all going to be preaching on the same topic, the light of God. I want to start with a quote by C.S. Lewis. He's the author of the Narnia Chronicles, for those of you who don't know. It is, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." By God's light, we are able to see through the darkness that covers the world. I believe in God's light, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. With God's light comes clarity. With God's light comes wisdom and understanding. With God's light comes true purpose and responsibility. God is such a personal God that really the only evidence we can use to support the fact that God is real is what we personally experience of him. We feel his presence. We hear his voice. We sense his spirit. We see his light. We cannot film his presence, and we cannot audibly record his voice for others to hear. People experience God in a unique way at a unique time, so that it's a personal experience that leads to a personal relationship with him. Now I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It's a little bit more modern than other Bibles. Acts chapter 9, verses 2-9. Saul's conversion. "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink." So what we can gather from this scripture is Saul was an angry man and an eager man. He was determined and he was on a mission. He was not going to stop without great force. So what did God use? Great force. He used one of his most powerful tools, his light, to stop Saul with great force. Now, if you look directly into the sun or stare at a really light, bright light bulb up there, oh, now I'm seeing spots. You can only see the light that is projected and not the object behind it. God's light shines so brightly that you cannot see him. You can only see the light that is projected from him. Verse 7, "The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice but saw no one. Yet the light from heaven was so bright that it blinded Saul for 3 days. God's brilliant light had such an amazing impact on Saul, afterwards to be known as Paul, that he was soon baptized in the Holy Spirit and preaching the word of God to anybody and everybody. As God's disciples and followers of Christ, are we not meant to attempt to be Christ-like? Do we shine the amazingly brilliant light that God shines? And do we reflect God's light throughout our days? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5-7. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' had made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our power, great power, is from God, not from ourselves. One cold winter's day, I was sitting at my kitchen bench with my toes in the sunlight that was streaming in through the glass door and warming up my tiles. I just want to specify that I'm saying this little blurb because this is when God put this topic on my mind, and God also put this topic on Cheryl's heart and Lynn's heart. It was amazing how such a small stream of sunlight warmed my toes and made me feel cozy. My son Owen then stood in front of the glass door and cast a shadow on my toes. He blocked the sunlight from reaching me. All of a sudden, I felt cold again, and I longed for the warmth of the sun on my toes once more. This is also true in regards to God's light. When I was about 15, I turned my back on God. I snuffed the light out in my heart, and instead of feeling God's love and God's joy, I felt cold and dark and empty and meaningless. I longed for that light to once again warm my soul and comfort me and give me purpose and life in the dark world that I lived in. Until I welcomed God to light up my heart once more, I was just a cold, lifeless shell. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 15 to 16 says, "For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen." Is God's light yours to do with as you please? No. It's not our light, it's God's light. We are to let God's light shine through us, through our words, through our actions, through our service, through our attitude, through our hearts. As verse 7 says, God's light is a great treasure. God's light not only allows us to see him, it allows others to see him through us. We have a great treasure in our hearts, and with that comes a responsibility to let God's light shine through us to the world. Thank you. I welcome Lynn.
Good morning, everyone. The light of God is mentioned so many times in the Bible. It has so many different meanings. Have you ever walked into a dark room and wished for a light to come on so you could see? Total darkness is often scary. You don't know what dangers might lie on either side of you or in front of you. Maybe you're not even sure where you're going or if you are going in the right direction. It's so easy to get lost in the dark. Perhaps you've spent a night in fear of some danger, known or unknown, or just laying awake, unable to sleep. Things seem so much worse in the darkness of night. Your mind seems to race more at night. Or mine does. How different everything seems the next day, in the bright sunshine and the light of day. It never seems as bad. You can easily understand why the Bible uses darkness as a symbol of evil and death, and light as a symbol of life, joy, truth, and all that is good. Darkness is the absence of light. The world was put into spiritual darkness the moment that sin separated Adam and Eve from God. Because God is the source of light. Without him, we can only wander around in the dark, lost, not knowing where we are going. Some people prefer to stay in darkness, so they can't see what is going on around them. 1 John 1:5, it talks about God being the light. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. The fact that God is light sets up a natural contrast with darkness. Therefore, if God is light, then darkness signifies evil and sin. Before we knew God, the Bible says we were in total spiritual darkness. When we come to know Jesus, we are no longer in darkness, but in following Christ, we have the light of life. We are instructed to no longer walk in darkness, but as children of light, to walk in the light. In John 8:12 it says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" We must walk in God's light. So how do we do that? For us to walk in the light, we must be willing to see our sins as God sees them. We cannot justify our sins or ignore them or pretend they don't exist. We need to be honest with ourselves. 1 John 1:8-10. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." For us to walk in the light, we must be willing to listen and obey God's commands. To walk in the light is to be obedient to God's word, just as Christ lived a perfect, absolute obedience to the Father. In order to walk in the light, we must be willing to love each other as Christ loves us. 1 John 2:9-11. "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." Our love for God can be seen in how we treat each other. God then asks us to be his light. This is talking about being a disciple for Christ. Matthew 5:14-16. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." God wants us to be like a city on a hill, where we as disciples would live such a light-giving life. Imagine getting up each morning with the burning desire to be a blessing to all you will meet that day. Are you a disciple? How do people respond when they find out that you're a Christian? They shouldn't be surprised. If your life models Jesus' life being loving, patient, kind and forgiving. In John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The Bible also instructs us to live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of warped and crooked people. Philippians 2:15 says, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." We are to stand out because of God's goodness. It is amazing that Jesus calls himself the light of the world, and in Matthew 5:14, Jesus also declares that we are the light of the world. He encourages us to let our light shine before others so that they may glorify our Father in heaven. So what are some ways that we can be a light to the world? Start your day full of praise. Ask God to be a blessing wherever you go and pray for the salvation of people who don't know him as their saviour. On your way to work, pray for the people God puts in your path, asking God to focus your attention towards people that are on his heart. If someone treats you badly or unfairly, recognise the anger in your heart, forgive the person and pray that the Lord will bless them. You will immediately sense God's peace. That's a difficult one to do. The alternative is for the Christian to live in the dark. Scripture teaches that God is light and in him no dark and is in no darkness at all. If we have that relationship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If no light shines from your life, either you have no relationship with Christ or you are bringing dishonor to him. It is a sad thing for someone to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour and to continue to live an openly sinful life. That's when people call us hypocrites. Our responsibility as disciples is to live our lives by the word so that everyone can see his light reflected in our acts of kindness. We need to be the light of God. Jesus is speaking to a crowd of just ordinary people, yet he said to them, "You are the light of the world, and today we are the light of the world." That's how God intends to get his work done on earth, through us. It's not just pastors and missionaries who are the light, it's everybody who loves the Lord. The number of people reporting no religion in Australia has increased dramatically over the past 100 years, from 1 in 250 people to 1 in 5. In 1911, there were 10,000 people who chose the option no religion on their census form. In 2011, there were just under 4.8 million, which is 22% of Australians. Now, I'm not entirely sure that those statistics are correct, but what impact are we having on our country if those statistics are correct? Perhaps part of the problem is that we have led to believe that our faith is a purely personal thing, that we should keep it to ourselves. We are often taught not to talk about religion. It causes too much conflict. While I agree that our faith is personal and in that it requires a personal decision on our part as to whether or not we're going to believe in Jesus, Jesus taught that we are not to keep it to ourselves. The words, "Let your light shine." Our lives should be lives that reflect something different than what the world has, because quite simply, we have something that the world does not have. We are called to make a visible impact on the world around us. We cannot lose what we are, but we can hide what we are, and we can waste what we are. Why then were Christians placed in the world? If non-Christians live immorally and we live immorally, what is the difference? If they are dishonest and we are dishonest, what is the difference? When they do sloppy work and we do a sloppy job, what is the difference? When they mumble and complain about everything and we mumble and complain about everything, what is the difference? If they are only looking out for themselves and we are only looking out for ourselves, what is the difference? We cannot benefit the world if we are like the world. We cannot benefit the world unless we show them that there is a better way. Our mission is to be the light of the world. It is our choice whether we shine or hide. In Psalm 18:28 it says, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." And to finish off, I read this on the internet. We're not called to be beautiful chandeliers for the world to admire. We're called to be a little single night light bulb in the hallway to keep people from breaking their necks when they get up in the middle of the night. He called us to make a difference in the darkness. Thank you.
Welcome, Cheryl. Genesis 1, 3 and 4. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. In the New Testament, in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And it came to me when Lynn was using that verse, that Jesus often said in his teachings, "Truly I say to you," and it means stop and listen really well, because I'm repeating this to you again. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." God is light, and it is God's plan that all believers shine his light in the world. The fact that God is light sets up a natural contrast with darkness. If we do not have the light of God, we do not know God. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, "You are all children of the light and the children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Light. Light in the Bible can be a metaphor for life, happiness, righteousness, and understanding. If light is a metaphor for righteousness and goodness, then darkness signifies wrongdoing, evil, and sin. We do not belong to the night, and we do not belong to the darkness. God is the creator of physical light, where we see and learn of our Creator's wonderful handiwork in the things that he has made. The majesty of the heavens, the wonders of the plants and the animal world, the miracle of human life, the awe of the sunset, the amazing sunrises in the mornings. Think on the way plants grow and seek out the light of the sun, and how they strive, even through weeds, that they will reach to the top. And how enjoyable it is to feel the sun on your back on a spring day when you're sitting in a park, just like Siobhan's toes warming on her tiles. All living things on the earth need to grow. Without it, there would be very little left. There would only be mould and slime. We'd probably be underground dwellers if there was no sun. We need sunshine and light to exist and to flourish. We get vitamin D from the sun, and it is an essential element to our system of hormones. In some countries that have long cold winters, there is a depressive mental state called seasonal affective disorder, where people come depressed and suicidal due to the lack of sunlight. Light helps us avoid danger. It helps us reach where we're going to. It helps us reach what we're after. When we walk in the darkness, we stumble. We can stumble over a log, fall into a pothole, or fall off the side of a cliff if we can't see where we're going. Darkness is full of threat. It frustrates our abilities to attain our goals and to keep pressing onward, both in the natural and the spiritual. But light changes all that. It changes what we can see. The light exposes dangers around us and frees us from what is lurking in the shadows. It opens the way to our goals, God's goals in our life. The light is full of hope. It's full of promise. It gives us direction, and the light guides us. As well as a giver of physical light, we see God is the giver of spiritual light, a light so important that the Son of God had to come to earth as man in order to both declare and impart the light to men. As spiritual beings, we are also drawn to the spiritual light. The light allows our spiritual life to grow. Without it, we are in darkness. The light is the way we can see and experience God's love, feel and experience his salvation, and know and experience his truth. Light exposes that which is hidden in darkness. It shines into the shadows of our life, illuminating experiences and events as they really are. To walk in the light means to know God, to understand his truth, and to live in his righteousness. Walking in the light means we consider Jesus as the light in the world. And we walk in that light by following his teachings, living in his power, and growing in his grace. Our lifestyle and way of life can be considered a walk. The word walk also indicates progress, moving forward, being ever onward. Not standing still in today's blessings or dwelling on today's challenges and trials. Walking is related to growth. It is taking ongoing steps towards a more Christ-like attitude, which brings about a more Christ-like life, and then moving onwards to a maturity in Christ. The Apostle John repeated using the word light in relation to the coming of Jesus many, many times. For example, in John 1:9, he writes that Jesus is the true light, which coming into the world gave light to every man. In verse 7 he says, "If we walk in the light, as he, God, is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In verse 5, John says that God's very nature is light. And this is the message we have heard from him, him being Jesus, and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Then Jesus is the instrument or provider of light in the world. We should reflect the light of Jesus. Just as the moon has no light of its own, it only reflects the light of the sun. But look how bright that can be on a full moon. We as believers in Christ have no light of our own. We can only reflect the light of God. Through this reflection of light, people can see God's light in us. We do not carry our own light, we carry God's light. And as his presence grows in us, we begin to radiate more and more of his light. The light of God is evident to others by the way we react to life's challenges, by the Christ-like attitudes that we have in situations, and by the good deeds we do in faith for others through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we grow in our personal relationship with God, as we learn and dwell on his word, and as we fellowship with other Christians, the more we are able to shine the light of God. As we live righteously before him, the light we carry impacts everything around us. Everywhere we set our feet, we are bringing the light of God to that place, and the enemy has to formulate a response to our presence. Isn't that amazing to think and think on? We impact everywhere we set our feet. At salvation, God's Holy Spirit came into us and makes us truly alive. His light drives out the darkness, and everywhere we go, we can be witnesses of God's grace, love, and freedom. We don't have to struggle and strive to achieve a heightened level of power or spirituality in order to impact our environment and those around us. We are doing it now simply because we belong to Him and the light of Christ shines through us. The light of Christ we carry is a very powerful thing, and its effect on us and those around us is consistently more than what we could expect or imagine. We should strive to live in the light of God that God gives us. Ephesians 5, 8 and 10. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in light, in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. When we walk in the light, we cannot walk in darkness. Sin is left in the shadows as we let God's light shine and reflect through us. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," and in 16, "Let your light shine before men." You can't get much clearer than that. You are the light of the world, and let your light shine before men. Siobhan said, "God is our treasure. Let God's light shine through our hearts and through our attitudes, through our service and our whole life." Lynn said, "Let's be obedient to God's word. Let's love each other. Shine as the stars in the sky. Let our light shine before others, bringing glory to God in everything that we do and everything that we say." I leave you with the same words as Lynn, as Jesus said, "Truly listen up." In Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Let us all be carriers and reflectors of God's light in every day, in every way, in every place. Amen.